for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday afternoon, December 30th, Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Carla Batard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Exposing Satan's Devices.
Lord, we just thank you for a good time. We thank you that you enjoy our laughter, and your word even says that laughter doeth the heart good like a medicine. So we just thank you for being with us today, and I ask you to add to, take away whatever needs to be done to this teaching, Lord, that we need to hear. And we just ask that we hear what you have to say, that our hearts will receive it, and that we'll all be blessed by it, in Jesus' name. Well, what I wanted to talk about today is the enemy. You know, we all have torments.
Yeah.
Everybody's torments are different, but they're all from the same source. Like we were talking about the gifts the other day. This gift, that gift, but all by the same Lord. Well, we all have different torments, but all by the same source, who is from the enemy, Satan. So I want to look at 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, let's start with that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Or let's go up a little bit. No, let's just say 11. Actually, it's the second part of verse 11 that we're going to talk about. For we are not ignorant of his devices, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Unfortunately, we are ignorant to his devices. Let's see. If I started learning about his devices in 97 and I was born again in 78, 19 years. So I was a Christian for 19 years before I ever really knew anything about the enemy's devices. And so we need not to be ignorant of his devices. And so I just wanted to kind of talk about some of the devices and some other things, and then we can do some deliverance concerning these demons or these spirits after we talk about them. Okay, now I want to look at Ephesians 6:11. Let's flip over there real quick. Ephesians 6:11. Well, let's do 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So see, we need to know about his the way he works, and we need to be strong against it. But unless we know how he works, we can't be strong against it if we don't know what to look for.
That's right.
And he is a blindsider. Mm-hmm. He likes to work undercover. Mm-hmm. And so as we begin to expose his ways, he is less likely to blindside us. Because I know when it first hit me, I really felt, if I had to compare it to anything, it was like I got sucker punched from left field. I didn't know what hit me. I didn't know. It was like I didn't know. Well, who? Where is the enemy? Who am I fighting? Who hit me? How does this get fixed? And Lord, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, when you are living in the truth that you know, and you have the idea that if you are walking in the things that you know, that you're going to be safe from him. But his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And when we join the army of God, we become targeted by Him. He hates us because He loses, every time someone gets saved, He loses part of His kingdom, the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
And He doesn't let go of His territory easily.
Mm-hmm.
Or ever, actually. We you know, even no matter how strong in the Lord you get, you've still got the enemy coming against you. And the more strong you get in the Lord, the stronger forces, the stronger devices He has to use. So I just want to share with y'all a little bit about what put me on this course. And most of you know that we had a child that began to rebel, and it was like trying to hold raw eggs in my hand. When you see somebody that you love being devoured by the enemy, and it's like trying to hold a raw egg, you're just fighting and not making much headway. Now, there were things in the home that were upside down and in the wrong order, and that posed a problem. Satan is even at work in his family, in my family, and then we come together, and he's working in, you know, that union. Marriages are really in need of some teaching on the enemy. That's why I was tossing back and forth. Adam anger, Eve anger. So in our household, there was, it's a competition. If those things are not dealt with, and two people come together, and you haven't dealt with your issues, then there is all kinds of evil going on in your... I mean, Satan is just using you against him and him against you. And then when you have children, he's using the children against, you know, dividing the mother and the daddy, all those things that... well, Cheryl mentioned some of it yesterday. Those arrested development areas that cause all these problems. And so I was ignorant of his devices. I mean, God had to start teaching me how to fight. He taught me how to pray different. Now it's moving into prophesying, and it's been a process, but it's been yucky. And as I've suffered these things and learned these things, I know before I ever was teaching, I said to the Lord, "Lord, if I can provide a shortcut for anybody, please, let them know. Let me have a way of sharing this stuff with people so they don't have to go through the same torment."
Amen.
So we need to be teaching these devices. There are witchcraft curses. I know back in 1995, I was going to get one of my kids at school. And there was a radio show on, and these two disc jockeys were laughing and mocking and criticizing this principal at a school that had expelled this young girl for putting a witchcraft curse on a teacher. And they were laughing and saying, "I believe he's been watching too many episodes of Bewitched," and this kind of thing. Because people are so ignorant of his devices, it's they work like termites in your house. You know, your house could be falling down with termites, and if you don't know that you've got termites, they can work undetected and destroy your whole house. That's how I see demonic forces. And Satan, he wants to stay unknown so that he can do as much destruction as possible. But this girl had bragged to her friends that she was going to put a witchcraft curse on this teacher that she didn't like. And they didn't think that it was real. I mean, you know, that's just stuff on TV and movies and stuff. It's fantasy, in other words. So they're in this classroom, and the teacher falls deathly ill. I mean, they had to call an ambulance, and she had to go. So a few days later, these girls felt kind of bad about it, so they went to the principal, and he called her in, and she said, yes, I did. I put a witchcraft curse on her. So the principal expelled her, and it caused this big upheaval in this town. I don't remember where it was. And I was listening to the disc jockeys make fun of this principal. And while I was sitting there thinking about it, the Lord said, witchcraft is going to be the next thing to come out of the closet and be in every home. And I was like, Lord, how could that happen? And several years later, Harry Potter came out. And there it was. I thought, oh, my goodness. And it is just about in every home. If people don't, even Christians, because they're ignorant to Satan's devices. And we this is, you know, this time that we're living in, we need to know how he works. So here I am, you know, sitting at home, seeking God. He's teaching me all this stuff. And we moved to this place out in the woods. And let me tell you, there is a lot of witchcraft in the woods. Because they can go out there and do their stuff. It's just like in the Old Testament, they had their groves, which that meant there were trees there, and they were undercover. They thought they were hidden from God, actually.
Right.
They thought God could not see them. Even God's people would go to the groves and worship those idols under the groves. And some of the kings, if there were no groves, they planted them and had their idols out there. So this is nothing new. It's been going on since the beginning of time. But I had heard that there at one time was a satanic church in this town that we had moved to. Well, it wasn't there anymore, so I wasn't too concerned about it. But I tell you, I believe, looking back, I can see where it started right away. I can remember sitting on the front porch one day and just, you know, it was a beautiful day, but all of a sudden I just felt this almost like, if you could have seen it, it would have been a dark, foreboding cloud just come, you know, over my property. And I felt it, you know, and I prayed about it because I didn't know what it was at the time because I didn't know anything about witchcraft or Satanism or anything. But then shortly after that, all this started happening in my family with the rebellion. Well, I mean, as soon as we started there, as soon as we moved there, Mike got a new job and our finances got in trouble. It was just like a flood of things came in to the point that I was wondering if we had made a mistake moving there. But I knew that God had put us there. But see, that's how we don't recognize either, the enemy. When we start facing things like that, we think, oh, this was not God's will, because you're meeting opposition. Mm-hmm. But what I have found is you're going to meet opposition more if you're doing the right thing than you will if you're doing the wrong thing. So we had our cars were constantly breaking down and getting wrecked. In 1 week, I had three wrecks. And none of the people had insurance. So I drove around this beat-up old wrecked. I mean, it was the most hideous-looking car. On one side, this kid backed up, and he had a trailer hitch, and the plastic broke off of it. And I was driving, and he backed up, and it just, from the front to the back, looked like someone took a can opener and just sliced it open all down the side. So the kids would always say, let me out, let me out a block before you get to the school. I mean, they were so embarrassed at this talk. And, you know, I was beyond that. I just said, okay, you want out two blocks before we get to the school? Get out, you know. But it was a joke. It was really, it got to be a joke. But, you know, then we didn't have money to buy a new car. And, you know, one of the ladies that hit me was in my church. And she told me, oh, don't worry about it. Our insurance company's right in town. I'll go home right now. Well, she didn't call them. And when I showed up at the insurance place for them to see the car, he said, no, we haven't heard from her. Yeah, oops, I trusted her, you know. But now, I don't care who it is, I'll call the police and let them come. You know, that's what you're supposed to do anyway. But we live 20 miles from town. You know, and it takes a long time for the highway patrolman to get out there, the police, whatever.
Live and learn.
Yes, I'm learning. But anyway, okay. Yeah, the cars broke down. The water well in our house went out, and it's new. We had to replace our water well. I had 3 major teeth break in my mouth. One morning, my washing machine flooded the whole utility room. I opened the door, and there was about this much water in the utility room. And it was just, you know, one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And so then I came up here, and Doc told me that I needed to pray for the witch. That's exactly what I did. My eyebrows went straight up. The witch? He said, you're under a witchcraft curse. There's a witch putting curses on you. Well, yikes. Do something about it, Doc. Break that off of me. So, now I have this bishop from Nigeria. Now, the Nigerians know about witchcraft. I mean, it is practiced openly there. So when he came to visit me, I was anxious to tell him about this witch that's putting curses on me, because you could surely tell me what I need to do. And I said, I went to camp, and Doc told me I was under a witchcraft curse, and I needed to pray for the witch. He goes, I shall for the witch not to live. What? He said, I suffer the witch not to live. And I said, okay, what am I supposed to pray for? But, you know, that is one thing that I'm asking God about. Because in the Word it says, there is a sin unto death that you don't pray for.
That's right.
But what is it? He doesn't tell us what it is. Mm-hmm. In the Word it doesn't tell us what it is. So I'm asking the Lord, because you know what? There was a man in our town that everybody in town thought had lost his mind. He was a very wealthy man. He had lived in another town about, 40 miles from us, but he moved to Jasper. This guy wore hot pants year-round. Majorette boots. With the little tassel on the front. He carried a stick that has the ball on it. I don't know if the ball goes to the top or the bottom. A camouflage shirt and some kind of vest. A short sleeve t-shirt and a vest and a backpack and a cat in a hat hat. You know, that tall red and white striped hat. And he walked all the time. And, you know, we all thought he was just kind of a nut. Well, he had demons for sure. But I was invited to teach at the church 40 miles away. And I said, hey, guess what? They call him the twirler. Because every parade that we have, he signs up for it, and he marches in the parade. He's got beautiful legs. I mean, he had nice legs. And he would march, and he would kick. I mean, it was just a scream. But anyway, I told the pastor at the church that invited me, I said, guess who moved to Jasper, that guy, the twirler, you know, the one that carries the baton? And he said, don't be surprised if he walks up to you one day and calls you by name. I said, well, why would he do that? Because he's a witch.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a witch. And people think that he's kind of nutty, but He walks the borders of the city and puts curses on businesses and people. Well, you know, Satan knows who God's people are. And I would think, well, he doesn't know anything about, you know, he doesn't know me. But he knows God's people. And so I wondered if that might not be the witch that's putting spells on me. Well, I came up here at the Christmas camp after Doc told me that. And when I got home, Mike said, hey, guess who dropped dead? I said, who?
The twirler.
He dead?
He dropped dead. And I wondered if, you know, Pastor Olu, the bishop from Nigeria, you know, because he's a strong prayer, man of prayer. And when he said, I suffer the witch not to live, you know, I wondered, did that have something to do with his death? Because, I mean, you don't play around with witchcraft. And someone who has sold themselves to the devil, you know, is that somebody that we pray for and bless? And, you know, I don't know. These are things that I'm trying to learn as I get deeper and deeper into this, because we need to know about the devices of the devil and who the enemy is.
Right.
So I don't know about the man. A friend of mine and I were going to the show. It was in January. It was freezing cold. And this guy, after I heard that he was a witch, he walks up to buy a ticket. We were fixing to go in. There were two movies. And we were going to go see, I don't even remember what it was. And I was hoping he was going to see the other one. But he wasn't. He was in the same movie that we went in. And it's freezing cold, and he walks up in those hot pants. And, you know, the weather doesn't have effect over witches. They can stand the cold. You know that magician that embodied himself in that block of ice?
Oh, yeah.
You know, my husband, the first time that guy was on TV, he levitates. You know, he just comes right off the ground. Mike says, wow, David's somebody. He said, I wonder how he does that. No.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Yeah, they're coming out of the woodwork now. They have them on those young people TV channels, you know, that are just, they're doing amazing feats that are drawing people to them, and it's witchcraft. It's not magic. It is witchcraft. And you know how they're able to do that ice thing? They just astral project out of there. Their body's there, but the rest of them is not. That's why they can stand all of these unbelievable temperatures and walking on, you know, glass and all these things that they do. It's out and out witchcraft. And yet people are intrigued by it. And children watch this, you know. And then they see Harry Potter and get the books, and there are actual witchcraft curses in those books.
It's initiating.
Yes, and they are learning how to be a part of witchcraft, and even the children of Christians. Because we're ignorant. It's not being taught. Okay, so now, not long after that, well, even before Katrina and Rita hit the Gulf Coast, I'd been questioning God about hurricanes for years because, you know, the storms, you know, we think, and God is in control over everything, but, you know, God doesn't send the hurricane. Now, I got a bunch of papers from different ministries after that hurricane hit with all of their theories and everything, judgments and all these things. Mike and I would talk about it, and I began to ask God about it. You know, Lord, what is it about these hurricanes? Because I see the fingerprint of the enemy on it, because they kill, steal, and destroy. And it's funny, all of a sudden it was funny to me that I realized that they all start right off the coast of Africa. They all start right off the coast of Africa. Now, what makes a thunderstorm take on such a life of its own? to the point that we give it a name. We name it. And it has one eye. The hurricane has one eye. And so then a lady that I met here from New York, her sister lived in Africa, and I was talking to her about these, and she said, my sister, you would want to talk to my sister because she still lived in Africa. And she said that they put on a certain night, I think it's the night of the new moon, they all gather at the water. Of course, this is in the middle of the night. They don't do it, like I said, they do it undercover so that people don't find out about it. They come to the waters and they put curses on the water so that the storms will take place, and then they can direct the storms with their witchcraft. And when she came, she said, when she came to visit me at New York on the night of the new moon, she woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, hey, I want to show you something. Get in the car. Let's go somewhere. 2 o'clock in the morning. They went down to the river that runs through New York, and there were cars parked all along the riverbank. And she said, those are the witches and the satanic people that have come to put curses on the river so that everywhere the river runs, the curses come out and go into the homes, into the businesses, into churches. And that's how, see, if we don't know these things, it works freely. So now when I travel, I go over that river on the way here, I break those witchcraft curses in the name of Jesus. Every incantation and things like that that have been placed on this river, I break them right now, and I replace it with the blessings of God so that when the water flows, the blessings can go into the home. And so we need to begin to work against the work of the enemy. So when I learned this about the hurricanes, I started coming against the witchcraft curses, breaking the witchcraft curses. And after those two hurricanes hit, they said next year is going to be even more active. We didn't have hardly any. And so if we can begin to work against these things, like I was asking, you know, somebody said, no, God is over the elements and all of this. And so I said, Lord, show me in the Word what I need to know. Well, Jesus, when he was in the boat and the storm arose, he stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. Now, Jesus is not going to rebuke something that came from his Father. Right?
That's so true.
He's not going to rebuke things that come from his Father. So, see, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He can rule elements. So when, like, storms, and depending on where you live, like last time we were here, it didn't dawn on me until we were here in morning prayer meeting, the fires in California. And I just, you know, I was busy with the hurricanes because that's what affects me. But here are these fires, and so I just took dominion over the wind. Lord, you've given us dominion over the earth. I speak to the winds in that area to change direction and blow back against the fire and exterminate itself. See, we can do these, that like the ice storms and the snowstorms. You know, we can begin to take dominion over these things. Because I really believe that because he is into destruction and death, he wants to kill, he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. So Satan is busy in the elements, and we can have an effect there by using the power of God. Now there are, speaking of Peter, you know, when Peter, the boat, when Jesus was in the boat, he comes walking on the water, and Peter says, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. So Peter gets out of the boat, and he's walking on the water until he looks at the wind and the waves. This is what I call distracting spirits. And those spirits are very active right now, pulling God's people away from what they need to be focusing on by bringing these distracting spirits, little problems that will come into your life. And this is huge. Right now, ministers and pastors are under grave attack in their families. Finances, divorces, affairs. You know, all of these things are coming. Satan is using those powers to distract people away from the purpose of God. That's one thing he taught me in the mess that our family was in. He finally stood me up because it totally took me away from my passion, which was to learn about God, to teach. I didn't teach publicly, but I had a lot of people that I was in contact with, or if they had a problem, they'd call me, and I would teach them about what was going on. And it took me totally away from all of that. I was so consumed with the wind and the waves. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on in your life, but know that Satan is going to send distracting spirits into your life to get you so consumed. You know what he uses? It's a spirit of magnification. Because he can take one little thing in your life and he puts his magnifying glass on it, and that's all you can think about. Because it looks huge. That is one of the powers that he uses, is magnification, to make himself and the problem that he's brought into your life, or maybe you even brought it into your own life. Maybe you did it to yourself, but he's that right there with that big old magnifying glass to bring it over there and make it consume you to pull you away from the things of God. So whatever your distracting spirits are, we're going to come against those. Tormenting demons. You know, he won't let you sleep. He'll torment you through nightmares or just not being able to go to sleep. Or, you know, I see that TV commercial. That's another one. Do you wake up an hour after you go to sleep? Of course, then you have the butterfly that can come put you to sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just, it's a scream if you watch all this stuff. But, you know, the world will tell you that, especially menopausal women, you know, back then it was menopause. Now it's any age because everybody is under such stress. We're working too much. We're working too long of an hours. God taught me through that depression that I suffered that you need to take care of your body. If you get worn down, believe me, you're going to get sick. If you are in fear over something, you're going to get sick. Because your body, fear is at the root of just about every sickness there is. I read Henry Wright's book, you know, this disease, that disease. Well, let me check this one. The root is fear, the root is fear, the root is fear. Well, fear seems to be the root of everything. But do you know what fear is? It's the opposite of peace. And peace, they talk about your... all those T's, I don't even know all about that stuff. But when your peace is disturbed, all that stuff gets out of whack and you get sick. So what Satan really wants to do is to keep you in constant fear. And he'll keep you in, he'll tire you out. If he can't get you sick, he'll just tire you out. So we need to be on watch for those tormenting demons. And then there are the lying spirits. This spirit, boy, I tell you, this one is really at work in more ways than one. But when God taught me about the lying spirit, it really opened my eyes to what they are. My daughter was upstairs, and she was in and out of rebellion, and so we were having some relationship problems. But, you know, I would do everything I could to maintain the peace, not to add to her stress or whatever. And if I was going to fix a piece of toast in the morning or something, or fix a sandwich for lunch, and I would go to the stairway and say, because the stairway is like a big old megaphone. So I'd say, Katie, Katie. And she'd come to the opening. What? Why are you always screaming at me? And I knew I hadn't screamed. And I was like, if I know that I haven't done what I'm being accused of, I just don't even react to it. I don't say, I'm not screaming, you know, because that just, then the lying spirit has it right where he wants you. But I walked away and I said, Lord, "What is that?" And he said, "There is a lying spirit standing between you and her. And it communicates, it catches your words and communicates them to her in a lying way, in a way that is a lie. That's why she hears it as yelling." And I thought, get out. I cannot, but it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. So the lying spirit, you can say to somebody one thing and what they hear is something else, because without knowing their devices, we just get offended at the way they respond to us. Not even, and the lying spirit is standing in between us just laughing. One time I had this little vision. It was right after God said, "You're too polite to the devil." I was like, "What?" He said, "You're too polite to the devil." And I've learned, we are too polite to the devil. I heard Jesse Duplantis say one time that, he said, "If you don't embarrass the devil, he'll embarrass you." And he used this little it really happened to him. He was on an airplane, and this woman was trying to seduce him. And he just jumped up and said, "Whore Babylon, whore Babylon." And I mean, he said she took off. He didn't see her again. But you know what? But really, those seducing spirits will come up to you. And if you try to argue with them, you'll lose. But because, you know, if you try to keep it secret, oh my gosh, if you would have said, she could have seduced him away into something. Who knows? But he's right. You better address him before he gets to you.
Amen.
So know that these lying spirits, like Jerry said, you know, her approach is a little different. You know, standoff, show me what's wrong with me. And a lot of times it is in us. But sometimes there's just a lying spirit there that will keep things in strife, in contention. They're in your house to destroy your house. They want to destroy your marriage. They want to destroy your kids. In fact, right now I know a couple, a pastor and his wife, and they're having trouble with their children. They're just into it. And I had lunch with her because here's the shortcut. Let me tell you right now what's going on. Because when it first hits you, you're blinded. You know, you're just blinded by it, that sucker punch. All of a sudden, your eyes are off of everything else except, and he's got the magnifying glass there, and the lying spirit's there, and the spirit of division, and before you know it, the house is destroyed. The marriage is destroyed, and he's a pastor. So I had lunch with her, and I said, "I feel like I need to tell you this. Everyone in your house right now is being played like pawns on a chessboard."
Oh, okay.
On a chessboard. You don't even know there's a game going on, but y'all are the pieces. And don't lose sight of the big picture. I know it's miserable, but the big picture is that he's in your children, trying to destroy your children and destroy the marriage and ultimately destroy the church. That's the plan. But we've been going through this for 2 years. And I went, but I told her, I said, "It's going to be all right if you don't cooperate with the enemy."
Amen.
If you don't cooperate with the enemy. Which I would have. You know, she is saying all the exact same things I thought and wanted to do. But God wouldn't let me. And I look back and I know that we would be divorced if God had not given me line upon line, precept upon precept, how to get through it.
Amen.
But that is the plan. And you can look at our society and see how successful Satan is being in destroying the family, the homes, the children, the marriages, and the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's witchcraft. It is Satan's big picture. Just like Howard Pittman said the other night, And then the distraction spirits. Okay. Now, in that Ephesians 6:11, the whole armor, I want you to know that I hear people say, every morning I put on my armor. I put on my helmet. You know, this is not a little outfit that we put on. It is a way of life. It says about the armor, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And that comes through the Word. You've got to be in your Word. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. That's the salvation. You know, you're right. We don't have any righteousness on our own. Jesus is our righteousness. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It took a long, long time before my feet were shod with the preparation of peace. I was a fighter. I loved a good... me and my brother used to fight. When I got married, I didn't have anybody to fight with, and so I tried to pick a fight with Mike every day. I was good at it. I liked to fight. I can think twice as fast as Mike, and and I'm not proud of that. I was at the time, but I'm not proud of that. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's not just something we stick up. That's something that has to be developed. Your faith has to be developed and exercised. That's the way you're going to quench those fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation and the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is a lifestyle. If we're going to be effective against the enemy, this has to be a lifestyle. So, in order to overcome the enemy, this is our armor. And it's not something we put on, it's a way we live. So if you've got to be in the Word. The Word is our sword. It is our sword. And our faith is our shield. And you know what everybody always says, well, what about the rear guard? Well, in Isaiah 52:12, it says that He is our rear guard. Amen. God is our rear guard. But, let's see what else was in there about the witchcraft. Well, why don't y'all just tell me some of the distractions that are going on in your life that tend to pull you away from what you really want to be concentrating on? Because, you know, we can't get in the Word. What was that, Jane?
Going to sleep.
Going to sleep. Well, you know, that's really how God got me started in all of this. Because I would be watching TV or something. I kept hearing, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. So I said, Lord, what does that mean, it's time? He said, redeem the time. Redeem the time. So that's when I got my concordance out and started looking it up. And all the scriptures that He gave me, wake up. Wake up. You know, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary runs about like a lion seeking whom he can devour. See, we've gone to sleep. There was a time, I mean, I was so hungry to hear the Word of God. And you know, there is a place in the Word, I thought about the wilderness that He was talking about. It says that we're going to have a famine of the Word. It's hard to find the Word in churches. And we're in that famine time where it's hard to find the Word. But you've got one. And don't wait for somebody else to feed it to you. You can eat it all by yourself. But, you know, redeeming the time. And I would go to different meetings when I knew they were having someone there, or visit different churches because I was looking for the Word. And this one little church that I loved the people and everything, but I would go to that church. And after I was there about the 10th time, I can remember sitting there and saying, Lord, are these people real? Are these really real life people? Because I felt like I had stepped in to a movie that was rerun every Sunday Every Wednesday. The people would come in. They would greet you exactly the same way. They would say exactly the same thing. They would sit in exactly the same seat. Everything was, it was like,
Groundhog Day.
This is weird.
Huh?
Well, it was just, I mean, really, it was like, it's like I could have gone like this. You know, oh, hi, Carla. I could have gone like this, and they wouldn't even notice. They would have gone right on with their dialogue, gone and sat and moved from this person to that person. And I was like, Lord, are these people alive? Well, when he started giving me this message, redeem the time, wake up. You know, we are actually sleepwalking through life. Even like the morning TV shows, you know, the news shows, you turn it on. Well, while Mike is in the shower, I turn it on because he won't have it on.
Amen.
He does not want that TV. I mean, I never thought I'd see the day that he was like that. But I kind of like to know what's going on in the world, you know. I'll turn it on, and they'll hit, you know, three or four of the top things, and then I'm ready to turn it off. But it's like they have the same, you know, every winter we get into the clothes and your dry skin treatments, and then, at New Year's they'll start with your resolutions and your fitness programs, and then they'll move right into the summer, and then you have your sunscreen. You know, it's like, wake up! Are y'all even alive?
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed that the world is sleepwalking. Every day, get up, go to work, come home. You know, it's like we're not even, he has us asleep.
You know, the occult people are getting so worse. They're doing stuff that us average Christians are not used to.
The occult?
Yeah. Mary Kay Baxter talked about it in her book, about when she was laying on her bed and she saw that witch looking through the crystal ball thing at her in one of her books. And, you know, I read it, never thinking that that would affect me, just, you know, reading it. And the Lord told her, you know, this is how the Christians can stop this. Notice it was allowed to happen. And the witch was doing the curses, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with this guy coming out of the attack, you know, and I'm laying on the floor with Skype on the computer talking to him in Boston, in Chicago. I look enough. I don't see a lot in the spirit realm, okay, very rare. And I see this great big thing, like a plate on the ceiling. It's got black all around it, white in the middle, and red around the outside. It's moving all over the ceiling. I'm going, okay, this is supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And God, Jesus had told Mary Kay Baxter what to do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went, hold on, Dave, I think I have a peeper. Now,
yes.
If I hadn't learned this, I'm telling you, I'd have been blown away. And the Holy Spirit had peace on me, and I said, you know, in the name of Jesus, I cut your silver cord, and according to Father God's perfect will, in Jesus Christ's name, I always like to say that because some of those witches can get saved. And boy, she is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was no way this was something in my office. There was no way this was anything natural.
Right, right.
And, of course, his aunt was a medium.
Mm-hmm.
So that had something to do. But I would never, wildest dreams.
And we can't in our wildest dreams know. And these things they're going to get more and more active as time goes on, because the spirits of witchcraft are being released into the homes.
They come at night while you're in your bed.
Yeah.
They put curses at times on you, and you don't know it. And what shook me up is when you started talking, and you said you had a problem with your teeth. I woke up one day, just like a week ago, my front tooth has all these funny little cracks on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You see it. I was like, where did that come from?
Well,
and you were talking about it, and I went, my Lord, do I have a witch putting curses on me?
Well, see, this is one thing that has now, you know, as soon as Doc told me that, and I think, well, it was right before the hurricane hit, I went for a walk with my dog, and they had just graded the roads. In the country, they'll grade the soft sand off the road. And, you know, in professional tennis, they play on clay courts. I always thought, how on earth can they play on clay? Well, it's not the kind of clay I knew. But where we are now, underneath the soft sand, is clay. And it's as smooth as this right here. And it's hard when you walk on it. Your shoes make noise just like you're walking on a floor. Well, they had just graded it, and it was perfectly smooth. Now, every once in a while, they will grade over, say, a rock or something that was embedded in the clay. And when it catches the rock, it'll flip the rock out of the hole, and you see the hole where the rock was, and then you see the rock. Well, there was nothing like that going on this road, but my dog ran over. We had... My house sits here, but you got to walk way up the driveway here to get to the road, and then I was walking in front of my house. But right in front of my house, the dog goes over, and he's sniffing something. Well, it was kind of weird, so I went over there to look at it. And it was, in my mind, I did not know what it was, but when I looked at it, it's like a word of knowledge came to me, because it was snake bones. That looked like they had been packed into a styrofoam cup about this tall and had been dumped. So they had graded the roads the day before, so this must have happened in the night, and probably was in the night, because they work in darkness. So it was turned over, and it was all these little fine, you know, just little bones like that, but they were, you know, they weren't in any, they were just like, they picked up a dead snake and put it in the cup and packed it down and then turned it over in front of my house. So the dog sniffs it, and I go over there, and this is before Doc told me, and I didn't know, you know, I had no idea what to do about it. I just thought, snake bones. So I'm walking down the road, and it was the most it was almost like that cloud that came. There was an eeriness the whole time I was walking down that road. It was like I felt like somebody was behind every tree looking at me. And I kid you not, on the way back, there were two owls in the middle of the day sitting up on this tree. Well, I told Mike about it when he got home from work. I said, there is something strange going on around here. So I told him about it. And, well, I did command, because I know that owls, I had heard that owls had evil connections and everything. So I rebuked the owls and told them to leave my property in the name of Jesus, and they flew off. But the next morning, we had some chickens, and I would call the chickens and throw out the stuff from the day before. And my dog always got there first to get the good stuff. Well, he didn't show up. And again, I had, you know, no knowledge about where the dog was. Well, we live in the country. It could have been anywhere. But I had this gut thing, and I went in the house, and I told Mike, I said, I had the strangest feeling that Sam is dead. And Mike said, hey, he's probably out in the woods. Well, I went for a walk the same way I did. That afternoon, I was going to go for a walk up straight out of my driveway. And when I got just across the street, this loud noise, and it was about 25 buzzards all at once. They just exploded up into the air. And I looked up the road where they were. And there was Sam. But it was, and I loved that dog. He was so sweet. But it was, here again, strange. It was like God said, depart your emotions from this, because you need to learn something here. So I walked up to the dog, and I looked at him. There was no indication that he'd been shot, hit by a car, anything. It just looked like he had been laid there. And what I thought was straight, Mike says, well, maybe somebody was shooting at him. I said, well, if that was the case, he would have been heading home, and his head would have been at this end instead of that end. You know, it just didn't make sense. It was all just weird. Well, the bishop told me that witches do not like dogs because they sense. They can see things that we don't see. So, see, they were trying to get rid of the dog being there. Well, I want you to know that after that, every single day, one of the first things I pray is, Lord, I bind and break every working of witchcraft and satanic prayers that are being prayed in my direction, and I dispatch the mighty warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against me this day. I mean, I don't miss a day because we're not fooling around.
Right.
With it's getting serious. Now, I'm not saying this. Please, this is not to instill fear in anybody. It's to let you know that we do have an enemy out there. And even if that's all you take away from this is that prayer that I just prayed to pray over yourself and your family, that's a good way to begin. In the name of Jesus, I bind and break every working of witchcraft and satanic powers being worked in my direction. I bind it and break it in the name of Jesus. And I dispatch the mighty warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has on me or Mike. Usually I never say, it's me, Mike, Lord, the ministry that you've given me, our children, our grandchildren, our church, the saints of God. You know, there's no stopping place because I don't want to leave anybody out. But really, we do. And to cover those that don't know about this, you know, that's why I just keep going and going, because they don't know about this. And that, well, Lord, the saints of God, I just pray that over the saints of God all over the world today. Because those spirits are multiplying with every generation. It should be the Spirit of God is multiplying with every generation. But we've been sleeping.
That's right.
We've been sleeping.
God showed me, Father. He showed me that they have their unholy ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really realize it. We have a whole lot of godly holy ceremonies. And we just make them implement.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Godly ceremonies.
Yeah. I mean, I did a whole list for the people that I mentor and work with, and I said, start instituting holy ceremonies like crazy. And I came up with massive ones. I mean, you got Holy Communion. You got armor. You know, you got so many, and I just kept collecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's getting funny out
there. Well, and you know what I was shocked to learn is that there are people who are members of witch covens and satanic churches that are also members of the local Baptist church, Methodist church. You know, they're in every church. Believe me. Yes, Satan has, you know, assigned them all over the place. And blessing, you know, I said when I was blessing the food the other day, it was another thing that I wanted to bring up. We need to really be saying a blessing over our food. I don't care if it's a cookie. Because I was given a DVD by a man that, another man who came into our office. It's funny how God is all of a sudden dumping all this stuff about witchcraft. And I've never, Lord, I'm not interested in witchcraft. Well, I'm interested in witchcraft because when it becomes a, you know, when it's coming at you, you better get interested in it. But, you know, this is just another area that God wants his people to know about. But anyway, in this DVD, now this is going to freak y'all out, but I'm telling it to you so that you can bless even something that we've never even thought about blessing, or maybe you have, but I haven't. The woman, one of the women on the tape, this man has this his big meeting, and the first thing he does in that meeting is he binds the spirits of the witches and the wizards. And without fail, he'll have 20 to 25 people just drop to the floor. And
the spirits of the
witches and the wizards. Yeah. You know, so, and I do that now. You know, when I come here, before I get here, I am binding every, because they're in the woods.
Yeah.
They're out here. And believe me, they know about Lake Hamilton. And they definitely want to hinder the work of Lake Hamilton. And usually there will be someone assigned at every camp to be here to cause problems. One camp, we had about five people fall. And I was one of them. And I don't fall. I was in the room, and I was just walking across. There's carpet, and then there's floor, and there was a little rug there. And I took the step and just went, whoop. I mean, I did a split. And it did kind of hurt my knee right there, but I was thankful that, you know, I could have really been injured. And a couple of people were injured, twisted their ankle or whatever. But they know about this place, and they put curses on this place. And when we come here, we, you know, but that's why now that we know about it, I mean, I know they know about it. I know Irma and Glenn and everybody for years have known about it. This is nothing new. But even everyone who comes can begin to come against the witchcraft that's worked at this camp, against the speakers, against the grounds, against the people who come. Because a lot of people who come don't realize that even some of the problems they're experiencing are witchcraft problems.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.